just trying to get your attention, that's all. Just trying to get your attention. Attempting to get you to focus in on what I'm about to say. Today, good subject matter, hell. Thank you, Curtis from Bumpus, Virginia. Really appreciate the article. Now, let me share it with other people. God's morality is on trial today. Here's an article by Westmore. Is hell fair? Is the doctrine of hell a fair doctrine? Is it fair for me as a believer in God to think that God would give retribution to those that mock his name, go against what he has said, basically blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? Well, God's morality is on trial today. Every day in our culture here in America, human beings sit in judgment over the Creator's moral integrity. I know that to be true. I taught a class last night in ethics, and I love teaching that class. You have to see the classroom filled from wall to wall, students bristling as I throw in more logical analysis about the society that we live in. I'm telling you, the pulpit of the classroom is the greatest thing that I've discovered since the church went sour, because the church has gone bonkers, just completely out of their minds. The Bible speaks about hell. I can give you 1,000 verses, but I'm going to read Wes Moore's little plug here. Now, and this setting in judgment over the Creator's moral integrity is what Americans appear to love to do. I mean, if we can judge God, then we are the ones that's running everything here. Well, before we will allow him to exit or truly be God, he must first pass our "Are you good enough to be God?" test. That's what Wes says that a lot of people think about God, and I think that that's exactly what the disposition is about many people. The reality of the test appears in the form of various objections. So I'm going to give these objections, and then I'm going to read the rest of his article, and I think it's a fine article. I haven't read through it yet, but as I get these articles from Bumpus, I just love to delve into them. First of all, let's look at these objections. God wouldn't wipe out entire nations like the God of the Bible did in the Old Testament. Is that right? Yes, he would. What do you think? What would you... Listen, if he wiped out whole nations, I mean literally destroyed them, and we have those accounts in the Bible, we even have the historical records that those nations have been destroyed, what would cause one to think that he wouldn't do the same thing possibly in America today? Here's another objection. God wouldn't deny loving, committed homosexuals the right to marry. Well, I don't rightly know about that either. I don't think that he's going to break up their right to marry, because if they pass the law here in this country, God's going to let them marry. But that doesn't mean that God is going to say that it is a marriage like between a man and a woman. God is not going to say that. God is not going to change his mind all the way from the Garden of Eden and said that when Adam looked at his wife and behold, he saw this woman, he said, "Hey, behold, flesh of my flesh." Well, you know, he knew that she was different and there was something attractive about her. Now, you can be of the same sex and look at somebody and find something attractive in them, but to call it a marriage, nah. Here's another objection. God wouldn't allow people to suffer like yours does. He wouldn't. People have always suffered from generation to generation. Why would he change today? Oh, yeah, we got into that subject matter when we got into the subject matter of the utilitarian thought by Jeremy Bentham and John Stuart Mill. guys like that that would talk about, sounding like Barack Obama. You know, he's utilitarian in his approach. Everything's going to be all right. We're going to give everything to everybody. Won't nobody have to worry about nothing. We'll just give it to them free. You don't have to be accountable for anything. Whatever happened to rugged individualism? Well, it appears in the form of the objection that titles this article, Is Hell Fair? Have you heard that before? God wouldn't send anyone to hell. It isn't fair. Well, you know, God isn't into fairness. No. He isn't into fairness. He's into justice. To justice. Now, here are a few things to think about when considering this question about hell. First of all, we have to ask, what is hell? And I think that's a good place to start. You know, and I'm laughing. Maybe I really shouldn't laugh, but I'm laughing at this because I think that we have to look at it. We have to look at these things. Let's see. I don't know what happened here. Here we go. Let's see. I'm just trying to make sure that my computer is working and everything. Okay, here it is. What is hell? In biblical terms, hell is the place where human beings suffer the punishment for immoral and rebellious thoughts, words, and actions, and attitudes committed during their lifetime. In other words, if I'm rebellious against God in my thoughts, when I'm thinking about things that I know He doesn't want me to think about, in my words, if my language is corrupt, in my actions, when I do things to hurt other people, to cast them down, in my attitude, if my attitude or my disposition is just sour. In the end, this failure is a failure to glorify their Creator. See, God set up all these attributes and standards because He wants to be glorified through perfect, I like this, and complete obedience to His moral will. Perfect and complete obedience to God's moral will. Wow. He is known, hell is known as the second death. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, it says, Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Now, you may say, well, John, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe that book. That doesn't mean that the book is not true. See, you may tell me in defiance, I don't accept that book. I don't accept that. That's why I don't like Christianity. I don't like people like you. You scare me. No, why don't you look back at what you're doing? Listen. Are you living out of compliance? Are you living in rebellion? Are your thoughts filthy? Are your words corrupt? Are your actions immoral? Are your attitudes antagonistic against a holy God? My friend. So, hell is a place where the Creator's glorious power and mercy and life are removed completely from the individual human soul, resulting in excruciating torment and pain for an eternity. You may be saying, I've had enough of that. I can't take it. You need to go to 2 Thessalonians in the New Testament Scriptures, chapter 1, and start reading with me at verse 6. Going to start reading through verse 6 through 10. And this is what the verse says. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire. Now look what it says in verse 8. Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Look at verse 9. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes to be glorified in His saints, that is, the believers, on that day, that is the day that he comes back, and to be marveled at amongst all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. My friend, if those verses are not verses enough to convince you that hell is real, then I don't know what is. Hell is also the execution of God's righteous anger for sin of human beings. That's right. God has to execute these things. Listen, if God is real, you know what? And a lot of people would say, well, I believe in God, but I just don't believe in hell. Well, how can you believe in God and not believe in hell? Let's go to Romans now. Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Your Bible is replete with these good things about hell, and it should enliven our hearts. Because if we love God and if we follow him and if we're obedient to him, hell should not frighten us. Now look at these verses. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Did you hear that? Because of your stubbornness, you're storing this up. Listen to me, American citizens. Listen to me, friends of mine. Don't think that we, and I'm putting myself in that category also, don't think that we are going to get away with anything that we want to get away because we live in a liberal, stubborn society that allows all kind of corruption to proceed out of our lives. Don't think that that is going to happen. No, look at verse 6. Who will render to each person according to his deeds, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation, there will be tribulation. This is verse 9 of Romans chapter 2. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace. Look at verse 10. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. My friend, if you don't understand the reading of these verses and the implication of such, then hell will be your eternal home. Hell will be my eternal home. I'm going to tell you something. I can be a preacher of God's truth. I can sit in this studio and give God's truth and rebelliously, continuously, and I'm thinking about two or three things in my life right now that I need God to wipe out of my life completely. But you know what I keep doing? I keep allowing this to come back in because in some stupid kind of way, I think that God is going to, well, he's going to give me special favor because I'm speaking for his cause. It doesn't work like that. It has never worked like that. And I'm telling you here that you need to own up to it. As all humans have earned hell, including myself and including you, the listener of this webcast, the only way to avoid it is for the individual to throw themselves on the offer of forgiveness through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that this is hard to do. I know this is almost impossible to believe to many of you. When a sinner repents, and you have to understand that, let me help you out. Let me help you out. Go to the book of Mark, chapter 1 and verse 15, and I'll read it again. And so that you can get this. When a sinner repents, in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, where Jesus said, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. In other words, believe the good news. When that sinner does that, places their complete trust in the righteous life and the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9. You got to follow me here and understand where I'm coming from. Because if I'm telling you something, I'm telling you something strictly from the Word of God. For Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 reads like this: For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. See, God has provided a means for us to get out of it. If we only bow the knee and accept that in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds, we must. And our lives, listen, and if you do what Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, and lives the remainder of his life in the service of the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ, where do you get that from? We have to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now you notice that the Bible is leading my argument. The Bible leads the argument. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls, as Paul writes, having concluded this, that one died for all. In other words, Christ died for all of humanity. Therefore, all are dead. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live to themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. We see the seriousness of this life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and this appropriating him to our lives. Why is it that I see people on the news, people on award shows, and everywhere giving honor to God the Father, but never honoring him in truth and reality and living the righteous life that is depicted by what he gives us? We must repent, or there will be an eternity of hell set before us for blaspheming him. You may not believe this, but all of this that we've seen is no accident. And I know how human beings are. Christianity is the most difficult faith in the world for anyone to believe. It really is. Now, let's try to answer this question. Why wouldn't God send men to hell? In the first place, why wouldn't God send anyone to hell? Whether by execution or life in prison, we as human beings punish criminals severely when their crimes justify it, right? So the question is, why can't God do the same? I mean, if a criminal, if a thief, if a murderer, if they commit inhumane crimes against humanity and people, and we punish them with death or torment, life in prison, why can't we send those persons to hell? Second, don't place your own sense of morality above your Creator's, because that's what I do sometimes, especially when other people make me upset and I feel justified in what I'm doing. I can't do that. Be very careful when you think of elevating or changing, because culturally influenced and often corrupt moral compass over the unchanging, independent, pure moral nature of God doesn't work. Your moral relativism does not outdo the moral obligation that you have to please God. Oh my goodness, I should listen to that all the days of my life. Finally, to grasp the reasonableness of hell, because it is reasonable to think that God would send those to hell who is coming against his program, you must understand the holiness of God. Holy means separate or transcendent. God's nature, his sense of morality, his justice, his judgment, is infinitely higher than ours. We must acquiesce to this. We must state this. He's on another level altogether. We're like Pee Wee League football, and he's the best team in the NFL. And if we don't see God like that, no, because we're arrogant. We think that we're the NFL and all that we do. Just listen to the words of some of these rappers and some of these singers. I mean, some of these people that we made iconic godlike figures in our society. To us, a moral slip isn't that big of a deal. After all, we can honestly say that we've been there before. Or at least as sinners, we can understand that. but only the most heinous of crimes moves us. But God's moral sensitivity is not so numb. He has never sinned. He is completely pure. He is infinitely offended with each moral lapse. Now, I'm aware of that. Now, here's a question that I ask myself when I look at this question of hell, and that's why I, even as pastor, don't like to handle the issue that much, because see, it turns the focal light too much on me. You know, I like my sin. I relish in it. Man, it's my nature. Are you kidding? John, how can you expect somebody to get away from that? Man, I see the thing walking down the street, fine as can be. I was in my house, I won't get into the detail. Saw somebody walking down the street. I said, oh, fine, fine. I wanted to holler out of my front door. That was wrong. That was wrong for me to do that. But it's nature for me to do that. I'm saying, how can I stop this madness? I'm 68 years old. I'm still doing it. Because beauty is more than skin deep to me. But God says, thou shalt not, John. Thou shalt not. So this little moral lapse that I fall into and I try to justify it does not justify God letting me off the hook in any way. One famous confession says this: the Lord our God is infinite in being and perfection, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, who is immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, every way infinite, most holy, most wise, most free, most absolute. Now, I can't say that about human beings, because I'm going to go through the attributes again, and I'm going to give them to you again, and I'm going to tell you right up front, I cannot say this towards human beings. The Lord God is infinite in being and perfection. I am not a perfect being. I am not infinite in anything that I think and say. Who only hath immortality. I don't have immortality. I'm going to die. Dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. I know that, because when I think of men, we stink. We're filthy. Our imagination is wicked from the womb. Then it says God is immutable. In other words, he can't change his mind, because the mind of God is perfection in all that it is supposed to do. It is immense. I am limited in my understanding. It is eternal. I am mortal in my being. It is incomprehensible. Anyone can comprehend me. I make errors in my life every day. Almighty. I am all weak. Every way infinite. I am in no way infinite. Most holy, that I am not. Most wise, God knows that Solomon was the wisest man on earth, not me. Most free, I am most enchained by my own being. And most absolute, I am ambiguous. Now, if you cannot answer like me, you're a liar. You are a liar, and God is the truth. So therefore, a proper understanding of hell is required for a proper understanding of God. Don't tell me that you understand God, but you deny him the right to send your derriere to hell. What am I trying to do with this webcast? I'm trying to get you to wake up. None of us are going to be before a just God unless we approach him in the way that we ought. He has given us each a commission as believers to spread this message. You may not be able to spread it like I am as a pastor on web radio, but you can spread it in reality. You go to the job and say this, you will be fired. I'm telling you right now, you go to the job and spew this, they will get rid of you. If certain people hears this in my job, they may fire me because they hate God to that degree. I'm not going to take back these words. It's all true. So, and when a proper understanding of God is attained, through the study of his word, because you're not going to get it by listening and looking at so-called Christian television. You will not get a proper understanding of God by listening to people like T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, Benny Hinn, looking at Paul and Jan Crouch. No, you will only get this through reading the Bible and studying the word of God. All right, hell is not only justifiable when you read that Bible, it is required. It is required. And if you think that hell is not required because you don't agree with it, you are quite out of your mind. God's infinite holiness requires an infinite punishment for any and all sin. Now, let me end up and conclude by saying, hell is a real place where human beings will receive the just punishment of their sin. Let me read this again and put my little take on this. Hell is a real place where I will receive just punishment for my sin if I don't repent and stop acting a fool. I'm just telling you the truth about me. You have to speak in the first person for yourself. It can be avoided through repentance. That means turning from that sin, saying to God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for running after this, Lord. I really am. Help me not to. This takes a lot of guts because you have to come against what you believe, what you are. You must do that. And then you have to have faith. And this faith is not just some thing that your grandparents or your parents believed in. It is you on your own in the solo lane, trusting in God where you are. And then making a commitment to Jesus Christ. Now, I know this is going to be very difficult for a lot of you because you're thinking that I'm talking about this Jesus Christ that the Christians are talking about that looks like a white man with blonde hair and blue eyes and a halo over his head. Some picture that some archaic people in Europe drew up when they tried to make Jesus a white man. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Jesus of the Bible. Don't try to picture the way he looks, because you can't picture the way he looks. If you want to picture him, he looks like somebody from Iraq, burnt by the sun, walking around. Man, he lived over 2,000 years ago. But I'm talking about to the spirit, to the nurturement of Jesus Christ. If you're a Buddhist, you're going to follow the teachings of the Buddha, right? Well, if you're truly a believer, you're going to follow the teachings of Jesus. And the teachings of Jesus are ancient teachings and not these modernized teachings that you hear about when you go to the church and hear the rock man play the music. He's not your cosmic killjoy, your genie in a lamp that's going to give you whatever you want. Oh, I got cancer. Cure me of my cancer, Jesus. No, that's not the Jesus I'm talking about. Oh, my husband's not living right. Make him love me, Jesus. No, Jesus isn't going to do that unless you're willing as a woman to give him some love making every day that he asks you, and vice versa for you men. Oh, Jesus, make my son and daughter the right kind of children. Were you the right kind of parents, or were you a thug and a crook before them? Don't do that. You're defaming the name of Christ. Ah, hell can be avoided through repentance, faith, and a commitment to Jesus Christ. Far from being unfair, the severe punishment of hell is indeed, and I mean this through the depths of my heart, it is a righteous punishment given the crime and the nature of the being of the being offended through these crimes, the Holy Creator himself. So when you do that crime and punishment, then the nature of the being God who is offended by our crime and punishment, hell, has the right to send us to hell. Wes Moore is a conservative Christian author and speaker, the founder of Evidence America, an apologetic and evangelism training ministry. He's author of a couple of books here. Here's one, Forcibly Advancing the Last Hope for America and American Christianity, which is a book designed to equip the average Christian to engage the lost. Then he also wrote a text called The Maker, which is a futuristic apologetic novel, and The Spiritual Top 50, which is a nonfiction apologetic book designed to help Christians answer the questions their lost friends are asking. You can learn more about him by going to www.westmorenow.com. I like that. He has a website with his own name on it, just like Pastor John has a website with his name on it. Ah, thank you, Wes, for that article. I love it. What our country deserves from everyone who enjoys its fruits and freedoms is a little more gratitude and a lot less greed. Let's cut out. Oh, and that's a statement by Michelle Milken. And I like that statement because what it denotes to me is stop asking somebody to give you what you think you need if you didn't work for it. This is a great article, and I'm glad that you can come to my website today. Keep coming. I'm very busy. I got tons of papers to grade and college work to do. You know how that is. The old man worketh, I guess you can say that. And continue to pray for our nation. I understand at the time that, well, it is true. Last night was the second presidential debate, and it matters not to me who won the debate, really. What I am looking forward to is looking at how you govern yourself in light of the debate. You know what I mean? That's what I'm looking at. And that's important. But I want to play some music for you as I end up this cast. So listen to her words. Please listen to the words.
Sinner, please.
Jesus, forgive us, please, Lord.
Don't let this harvest pass.
Sing that song, girl.
And die and lose your soul, last.
The music of the Soulful Symphony, directed by Darren Atwater.
Sinner, please. dreams.